a couple minutes early, but... Well, we might have... Oh, that's what I was thinking. We're going to give it just a minute more to let people join in. It's just now 8:30. We might have everybody here early, so. All right, let's go ahead and see who all is on the phone. Do we have anybody from Larimer County? I know Cynthia was going to be out of town or moving or something like that.
Virginia and Shelley are here for Larimer.
Excellent. I'm hoping you got all of the information that was sent to Cynthia. Did you get the spreadsheets and whatnot?
We didn't get any spreadsheets.
Let me see if I can forward those to you. Weld County?
Present.
And anybody else with you, Rudy?
Nope, just me.
All right. More than enough.
Yeah.
All right, and then JP?
Hello, this is Lori.
Hi, Lori. Welcome. Is Joyce joining us as well, or just you today? No, which is plenty today. Just checking. Okay. All right. Virginia, I just sent you this... two of the spreadsheets, and I'll send you the third here in just a second. Pueblo, Bo, are you with us today? Not yet. Mesa County, Sheila?
Hi, this is Donna Ross. I'm here from Mesa County, and Sheila will be joining us in just a minute.
Great. Thanks so much, Donna.
You bet.
Amber sent a note. She's going to be about 10 or 15 minutes late, but she'll be joining us. I don't know if anyone else from Denver was joining. I can see. All right. Delta County, Renee?
There are trading opportunities just waiting to be found.
Oh, no.
At Schwab, we're here to help bring what inspires you.
Okay. Fran Montrose?
Good morning. I'm here.
Good morning, Fran. Connie, Morgan County? Elena?
It's Sheila.
Hi, Sheila.
Hey.
All right, and I heard a couple other bings. Anybody else that I missed?
This is Bo. I'm in.
Excellent. Great to have you. So in the meeting announcement I sent out, the agenda for today. I'm going to rearrange the order just a little bit so that, because some of what we're presenting on the 15th, Amber was going to do some of that, so I want to wait till she joins the call. So what I'd like to start with is, were there items that, discussions that happened at conference that, or we think that would be important for the commission to know about, and it can either be for this week's meeting or for a future meeting. I just more wanted to check in, and maybe they're commission issues, and maybe they're not. Maybe they're just issues we need to address. So there's no right or wrong answer. Yep, go ahead.
This is Sheila. I think the one thing that I'd heard a few times during conference is there's still quite a bit of trouble with NCOA. So for implementation purposes, it's still not quite as smooth as it should be. And also, not only Nicola, but then also the overlapping piece with Eric and that confusion as well.
Okay. Any more specifics on that, or is this maybe just a topic that we flesh out more and look at it for maybe the September COBAME committee meeting?
Yeah, it'd be fine to push it off to the next one, but as long as it stays on our radar, I think, because they're saying that the instructions are, they contradict themselves. The instructions given by CDOT to process the data versus what the statute says still. And
okay.
I'm not at that detail of a level to explain it well, but that's what I was hearing.
Okay. Thanks. Other stuff related to the NCOA and ERIC data? What's your impression? Is that the rest of the group agree that that's something we should talk to the commission, and then what would be the outcome of talking to the commission? Is it
if we need further legislation clarification is what I was thinking. And the other thing I did miss when I just talked about it is that we went from having like 8 form letters to like 12. Is that right?
That is very correct.
That is correct.
Yes, we have quite a lot of form letters.
And they said that the explosion of the number of form letters was due to Senate Bill 161.
Okay. So it seems like having a more in-depth conversation on that would help to clear that up. Other counties experience with that, I just need to hear from, is this something we should move forward with? Is this an issue for you guys?
I just think that maybe the question, this is Fran, that Eric is just reduplicating efforts with all the extra forms that we already do with the NCOA. Maybe that's what this all stems from.
Okay. Great. Others?
Sorry I'm late, but this is Renee.
Go ahead. Anything else to add on that? So I guess it's the what we would want from the commission is what? I heard one is, do we need additional legislation to clarify? And then I would say, clarify what?
This is Larimer. We would really like to see a simplification of the process because we've gone from sending about 3 different NCOA letters last year to now, I believe, 11 possible NCOA letters. It's becoming very difficult to sort all of that information efficiently and accurately.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There's nothing else from the COVAIM to make them aware that we're not getting good instructions or cooperation for simplification from the Secretary of State's office, even if it just is stated publicly. I don't know.
Okay. Yep. That's always make them aware and then also see where they go with it, right?
Hi, everyone. This is Elena. I think it would be interesting to hear about it because it's not clear to me from what you all have said so far if it's a legislative issue or an administrative one. So I tend to agree that highlighting it and then thinking through where the fix needs to happen might be helpful. And I don't know that that's going to happen at the commission level, but, you know, at least raising the issue and kind of getting it on the radar might be helpful.
Right. This is Sheila, and I do think it's administrative for sure. But, you know, gosh darn it, they're just making it very hard and not very cost-effective. My staff is feeling like it's purposeful to make our costs higher. We're not able to do, postcards. We're doing first-class mailings and and a number of different form letters, so it takes, like, looking at every line item and deciding which letter they're owed.
Right. So what if we raise this as an issue for this brainstorming here, raise this on Friday as an issue for the September meeting, and then have either this group or a subgroup of this group really get into what are the issues and how it could be improved and what we would be looking for. And that could be with us, and I mean, what might be most useful is if we got somebody from the Secretary of State's office to join us in that conversation. What do you guys think of that?
Good.
Okay. I have to take my own notes today because Joan's on vacation, so I'm going a little slower. Elena and Fran, from the COBAME committee perspective, what do you think that would be?
Yeah, I think that sounds great.
And then we can figure out what level to bring back to the group. Sorry, Fran, I think I cut you off. What?
No, I'm just saying that, yeah, I agree that we need to put it on the radar and then have some in-depth, or maybe not so much in-depth, but maybe an overall picture of what the issues are, but be prepared to speak to some of the issues in-depth. But having a Secretary of State member on that research would be fantastic.
Okay. Great. Anything else with this, the NCOA area?
Hey, it's Amber.
Hey, Amber. So just to catch you up, I was asking about conference. I rearranged the agenda a bit because I wanted to talk about the 15th when you were actually here. And one of the issues that Sheila raised was that the counties are still struggling with NCOA and then the addition of ERIC on top of that and how to fit all those pieces together in a cost-effective manner. And what we decided is we'll bring it up at the committee meeting on Friday for a discussion at the September meeting, and then between those meetings, either all of this committee or those who are interested will really flesh out the ideas with the SOS so that we can present where are we stuck in? Is it legislative? Is it administrative? And usually the answer is somewhere in between. So that work for you on that particular issue, if I was clear?
Yeah, that sounds great.
Okay. Anything else from conference that came up that the commission should be made aware of?
Hey, this is Elena again. Was there discussion about the model or the flow of traffic and customer service at VSPC? Is there any update on that? I know that's something that people have been thinking about for a while, but was there more done on that?
Yeah, this is Sheila, and a lot of the smaller counties were complaining about having to be open for two Saturdays when they only had an electoral base of about 10,000 voters, you know, that were going to be 90% mail ballot and having to pay the extra hands to keep it open on the Saturdays. But I think everybody understood that's what's in the law and that's what we're going to have to do. Amber, did you hear more about that?
No, I think that's exactly right. I mean, there was a lot of discussion about the Saturday and then in rural now, the 8 hours a day. That came up quite a bit because I think that just historically the business hours during the day maybe wasn't the full 8 hours. So I know counties had concern over that because it's basically creating overtime pretty directly because the day ends up being more like 9 hours by the time you check, you know, judges start in the morning, get set up, and then complete everything at night. So it sort of added a lot of extra expense, probably unnecessarily.
This is Fran. I think there was some conversation as well for those counties who are not open on Fridays as a rule. So that was some extra cost that was talked about as well and how to work that.
Right, thanks. And was there any conversation about the web app and the Citrix for registration and kind of managing the two and the best process if there were, you know, an influx of registrations, that kind of thing, like more from a voter perspective, or was it mostly, you know, kind of at the top level? Was that kind of where the conversation was focused?
So this is Sheila. We had a conversation about what the VSPC web app is going to look like, again, but the UAT on that starts, I believe, this week. So we're going to, the UAT counties are going to start practicing with it, and then there'll be a mock election on its heels. So
this is Larimer, and we just wanted to point out that UAT started last week and is ending this week, so quite a few counties have gotten a chance to get a good look at it.
And how does it look?
To your experience?
Yeah.
It's looking really sleek. We had some issues on our county side getting a browser set up that would work with ActiveX, but other than that, it's a really intuitive system.
This is Montrose County. We are UAT County as well. The staff is loving it. We haven't had any issues at this point, but as Larimer pointed out, it's very intuitive, and they're very pleased with it.
Yeah, this is Denver. We've had the same experience. Staff has been very pleased. They think the training's going to go much better with judges, and the process will be much quicker at the service center to process a voter as well.
Boulder, same thing. We've been testing it and really have liked it, and, you know, checked all the reports and all of those things are working. So very, very much looking forward to using it for all those reasons. I think there's so many fewer steps to process a voter, so it's really, they've done a really outstanding job. I think the question that it still leads up to, which I think, Elena, you might have been alluding to, if it's not it, you know, clarify, but you still have to, anyone who needs anything changed in the key line still needs to go through the score Citrix. And have counties made, do you think counties have made the decision on whether that will be one line or, you know, one or two lines specifically for that can do, you know, if you have people who need to newly register, can do that as well as, you know, then process voters? Or, you know, what's the flow looking like with the fact that we're going to have to use Citrix for the new people?
I think for the majority of our counties, what I'm hearing, and Amber may have a better idea on it, but is that the smaller counties are going to have their one VSPC that is primarily at least have staff around to help the judges in their main office. So it's not really a change for them, and they don't really anticipate needing the VSPC module so much. But medium and large counties are looking forward, I think, to more of a flow. Some of them are doing registration along with the other processes, and others are breaking off a registration / provisional ballot judge because the provisional ballot judge won't be busy.
Right.
I think the counties are working it out. I'm not hearing very many concerns. I feel like they feel confident with the model.
Yeah, I think being able to continue processing those registration forms will really help the amount of registration we have to do at a site. And again, that's going to be to help keep getting that word out. Amber, what did you hear? Heather, what's your impression of how people are going to handle that?
I agree. I think that there's been a lot of discussion amongst, I know, the larger counties. For, you know, is it going to be a separate line? Is it going to be, because score Citrix licenses are actually congruent, so is it going to be where you would keep the person in line and have the judge pull up score on the same PC? So I think there's probably some different ways that counties may approach that. I think for us, the way that we've been thinking about it is that we would have kind of a dedicated, you know, station or two stations or whatever it is for judges that are trained specifically in score. And really the reason for that, I think, is because the training is more extensive to do, you know, registration in score. So that's really the
logistical aspect that I think counties at this point are thinking through on what would work best. And I think it is going to vary, you know, depending on the size of the county, the size of the site, in terms of what is best.
Yeah, others, do have you, on the phone, have you guys made up your mind of what you're leaning towards, or?
Hi, this is Connie from Morgan, and one of the ones at conference, one of the counties, was thinking that they weren't going to have enough staff in order to do the Citrix, so they were going to make arrangements so people would call in, and they would fix everything at the home base, and then they would be registered, and then they could carry forward from there. Now, I didn't know how that was going to work. I thought that'd be interesting if the phone lines went down or whatever, but that was one of the thoughts. But what we're doing in Morgan County is we're going to have one line specifically for the voter registrations and all the changes, and then the other lines for the VSPC app, web app.
Okay. Others?
This is Rudy from Weld County. We are going to image all our laptops the same with the URL for the for the new module to process voters, as well as load Citrix on there. And then if we'll have one person dedicated to do new registrations, and if we need to send, helpers out there for voter registrations, if we get overwhelmed at a site, all the laptops will be imaged the same, so that way we can just have somebody sit down and start processing registrations.
That's a good backup. I think we're planning on the same, but it's that good reminder of it gives you flexibility if you have it already loaded, whether you're going to use it or planning on using it or not. Thanks.
Yeah,
for
absolutely.
Yeah.
This is Renee Delta. Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Renee, and then Bo can go.
I was just going to mention that we'll probably do about the same thing. We'll have it loaded on our VSPC computers and a judge trained to do new registrations. However, in my office, you know, I'll be here and the other election employee to help with new registrations.
Great.
This is Bo. We're doing the same thing as Weld and Boulder. One thing that we're adding is we will have a greeter with an iPad with information only the last 2 days of the election at each one of our VSPCs to help with the line and hopefully to get people organized if we do have a line.
Yeah, thanks, Bill. That's Boulder's planning on doing something similar with the laptop, but more at our two real busy ones, and especially up at the university where people are confused as to where they're registered. Go figure. So, others, let's see. I think we got, who did we miss? Stacey, what are you guys doing? Did you guys already tell us? Lori?
Yes, I think we're going to have access to both SCORE and the new module on the same computers, and kind of like Rudy was saying, like somebody dedicated to train to do the new registration.
Great. And Larimer, what are you guys planning? Have you?
We are going to have two fairly dedicated computers doing voter registration, but like you guys, we're going to have all of our computers set up so that theoretically, if someone needs to jump in and do voter registration, they can.
Great. Did I miss anybody? Okay, thanks. That helps for me anyway, and I hopefully the rest of you just kind of hear what we're doing out there. Any other questions about the conference or what came out of it or what the commission might be need to be made aware of? And maybe Elena or Fran, are there things that you guys may want to know about that we don't think to bring up that you think the commission might want to know? Well, that's hard to guess, but.
Nope, I think this sounds good. I mean, I think this last conversation about how counties are figuring out how to balance the flow with the two different apps, I think it might be interesting to just highlight it, and that's probably something that will be interesting to study after the election, what worked, what didn't, mm-hmm. what's the best practice going into the presidential. So maybe just touching on it, but I don't think it needs to be, you know, a thorough, you know, here's what everyone's doing. But I think it was interesting.
Yeah, I thought what I would do is in my update this Friday just include this part of the conversation and let people know what it's looking like. And then if there's more that questions that they have related to that, then we can go from there.
And I think, too, I don't know, it sounds like maybe that's also something to look at in the mock election. Like, I know we're considering sort of doing a few scenarios using the web app and then moving over to Score and time testing a few things and just see how the flow works. So I'm sure a lot of the counties are going to do that, too. So it might even be good to revisit it after the mock election is over as well.
On our next call, see how people, because I'd like to have another call before we have our next COVID meeting. Finalize the survey and all the last minute details that we can get done. So, okay, that's great. And then review and see if we learned anything different after the mock. Okay. And then, so speaking of that, we'll report back on the mock after we've actually had it, but does anyone have any concerns or issues ahead of time or things that we want to make sure the counties know? I mean, one of those, that's a good suggestion. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people thought of it, but maybe we'll just send something out. I don't know. Let me ask the question instead of make a statement. Is it useful to remind people of some timing things to change, or do we think that's a bit much from the business practice group for the mock election? You know, is there anything we as a committee would want just to put on people's radar when they're in the mock of other things to just check? Because I know we'll get a set script from the state.
This is Renee. We can certainly set something to watch out for, because if we don't have a plan in place ahead of time, we won't really be looking at additional information.
It might not be a bad idea to maybe even as a suggestion,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, not if everybody does it, but, I mean, at least I know there's been a lot of discussion amongst counties about how they're going to handle this, and so it seems like, and it sounded like there's lots of different ways that people are approaching it, so it would be good, I think, to look at it during the mock, and maybe it's just a suggestion for them to provide feedback on their experience. And then it kind of makes everyone better prepared for the general.
Okay, are there other things that we want to draw attention to? I think that suggestion of, you know, doing your timing on switching from one module to the next, because that's, you know, if there's an extremely lengthy period of time, it could impact your decision making. Are there other items similar to that we would want to put on people's radar?
Hillary, one thing I noticed during UAT testing is the system timing out every 15 minutes. With it being a mail ballot and the VSPCs, at least in my county, are going to be a lot slower, there's going to be that log-on time for almost every voter that comes in. So, you know, maybe we could keep track of that as well, as how many times we have to log on throughout a normal day or something, with it being a 15-minute timeout.
And that's the security feature, right, Renee, where it times you out automatically if you haven't done anything?
Yeah, that's correct. I just know with our county, we're going to be slow until probably the last 2 days of the election, maybe the Friday, Monday, and Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. Other things you're planning, those of you who are UAT counties or not, like other things you're planning on testing, checking in the mock whether it's in the scripts or not, that we might want to let other counties know, even if it seems obvious? Because sometimes it's not. Okay, well, if we come up with anything, let me know and then we'll look at how we circle back around. Is there, and I haven't seen, I'm still be entering from vacation. Is there a wrap-up meeting scheduled, do you know, after the mock with counties, or is that something that we might want to initiate ourselves? And is there value? Is it a call? Is it a, you know, email? What are your guys' thoughts on how do we make sure we capture anything that comes up in the mock?
Hey, Hillary, this is Connie, and I really do think it would be a great idea if we did all get together and some conference call after that, because we just learn so much from each other, and maybe even at the time during the mock, we will learn something and can share with other people that they didn't think about. So I think that would be a huge benefit.
And maybe that should be an ESRC call, Amber?
Yeah, it certainly can be. I think that's good.
And then we can report. Yeah, we can report from that to the business practice group, because I think that just gives people, they're used to that format.
I think that's great.
Okay. And does anybody? I mean, I guess I don't know how much instruction we've gotten on the mock so far. I apologize. Do we have a? I mean, we know when it is. Have we gotten very in-depth information on the mock yet?
Yes, that information has gone out.
I thought it had. And was there anything about a wrap-up meeting in it? Do we know?
I didn't see
anything. I think they've got various things scheduled as it relates to the task for mock, but the mock has always been more. It's always been about the functions within the system as opposed to the process outside the system, mm-hmm. I would say. So I think that in addition to, you know, the wrap-ups or the summaries or whatever that is for the mock itself, we talking about how the process itself is going to happen outside of the system using the tool is an appropriate thing to do.
Okay, great. Yeah, that's my impression is that it's more about did this function work, did this report work, that sort of stuff, as opposed to, like you said, Amber, looking at it as the whole business process flow as a whole. So, okay. Well, then let's work on, I think we already have an ESRC meeting on the books, maybe just use it for that, but Amber, you and I can follow up on that after.
Okay.
Does that work? And then we'll time that so that then we'll have a business practice group to discuss what comes out of that and then present that at the September meeting for COBAME would be my suggestion. Does that work? Sounds like a good enough plan for everybody?
Sounds like a plan to me.
All right. Anything else from the mock and the conference that we want to put on the radar for COBAME? Just, I don't think there is, but I want to make sure if some idea came to someone, this guy's going to let us know. Okay. So we talked about at the August 15th meeting what would be presented. And Amber, I know you were going to bring some information to the committee. Do you want to talk a little bit about your plans for that?
Yeah. So I have a presentation put together about, we basically call it kind of our operational support system, and it's basically our hotlines. So we have a voter hotline, which is for public use. We have a VSPC hotline, which is operational. We have a communications hotline, and we have very specific, very detailed data going back all the way to 2008 for every election and all of these hotlines. So it's basically the number of calls that come in from voters, the number of calls that come in from sites, and what types of issues they're calling about. And, you know, very detailed timing, averages over various sites. And then, so I'm going to kind of talk through all the data we have on that and how we've utilized it to plan for elections in the future. And really a lot about what the data tells us about policy as well, because I've also marked, you know, where different things came into being. For us, ballot trace was a big one that drove changes in the number of calls we got. Online voter registration, when that came into being, you can definitely see where calls reduced because of it being easier. And then I think there's been some significant impact in the last two elections in terms of voter registration calls into our public hotline, because the new model has made it easier for, I think, voters to understand. So there's a lot of, this data is pretty detailed, and it definitely tells, you know, a lot about the operational side of elections that, you know, doesn't always get talked about.
That's true. So from our last call, some of that was the follow-on conversation, because, well, I'm recapping what I think we said. Most counties, we haven't tracked that sort of information. And then where I lead to this after the presentation, is there value in and how would counties track some of this going forward? And is it even just a sampling of counties to show how the model's working? I mean, that's...
Yeah, and I think it's... Yeah, I think, you know, it's the model, but it's also within. So, like, I mean, we've been able to use it to say, you know, why are we getting calls from our VSPCs? We have very specific metrics about why we get calls, and then for, like, the next election, we'll adjust. And when we can see noticeable differences in what we get calls about and a reduction in calls, just by making simple process changes. And so I think some of that is also very valuable when it comes to what all this looks like going forward and how we can improve training and how we can kind of do certain things. So I think there's definitely a lot of interesting data as it relates to this and figuring out a way to make it useful for planning going forward, I think, is really important.
So it's almost like there's two tracks. I mean, one is, what is the commission, to bring this to the awareness of the commission with what outcome? One is to show how some of the policies are working. Then is there a CCCA component of, our continuing effort of how to use data and what data to collect to do better planning? My question to the group is, you know, what do we want from the commission out of this? Obviously, to make them aware, but then where do we go from here? So, do we want the commission to recommend, you know, put some of this in their survey so that we get it collected? Do we want to suggest we have some counties pilot tracking some of this information so we can figure out what the practices are? Because, again, that's always, like, what information do we collect for what purpose and what's the cost of collecting that information? And or do we just want the commission to know that this is one way to look at data? Okay, so I don't know what to make of the silence.
Well, this is Amber again. I'm sorry. I was trying to let other... I didn't know if other people had...
I know, but I...
So, yeah. I mean, I think... at least the way I've been putting it together, I hope it at least creates a conversation around this type of data, because it's really calls from voters and then operational calls into the hotline. And, you know, is it useful to look at this in the future? I mean, I think, at least for the operational side of things, we use a system called WebEOC, which I actually think it's a state system, but I think most counties use it for emergency management purposes. So I know Denver's not the only one. I actually asked the guy who's in charge of our WebEOC system for the city, and he said, oh, no, most counties. And he, like, rattled off a whole bunch of counties that have the same exact system. And we didn't pay anything for it. It's simply the city's emergency management system, and we were able to put in our, kind of information about elections, locations, all of that. And when we get calls in, we literally record to the time. We can assign it to different teams to work through. And that's really how we have the data, because we can export everything out of the system after the election's over and then analyze it. So it's an existing system that most counties, I think, already have. So it's, you know, it, at least for the operational side, I think there's a lot of value in, you know, looking at this, and maybe that's how the commission could potentially look at it as well, if it, you know, has a recommendation or what have you. So,
Amber, I a bit of what you were saying. So, saying that you're using that system to gather data or send messages out.
So, well, it can do both. So, it's our emergency management system in the city. It's called WebEOC. It's web-based. And so when, like, at a voter service and polling center or when we had polling places, we had all of our locations logged in. So when there was, when they had an issue or they had a question about a procedure or any sort of question, they would call in and we'd have a hotline set up. We record every single call and entry because we also take emails in from the field. And so we record that in the system. We essentially know exactly the number of issues, the number of calls, the number of entries, all, you know, all the way through by hour. I mean, I have this data, you know, by hour daily all the way through the election. You can see where there are spikes during certain periods. You can see the number of calls per site. We have all of that, and we record everything. And even in, like, since it's the emergency management system, if there's some sort of catastrophe that we need to get notice to, like, police, safety, fire, whatever it is, we can notify them through this system. And so most counties use this as their emergency management system. And when we were looking for something that would track issues in the field, we came across this, and the city said, well, why don't you use this? You'll be another agency using this system that the city already has in place. And come to find out, I asked them more about this recently, and they said that most counties have something similar for emergency management purposes. So you can literally blast out, like, if something, if one of your sites, there's some sort of issue going on, you can literally notify other agencies within your county or, you know, emergency management, for instance. You can use it as a notification, but the big value that at least has been for us is the operational tracking of what has happened in the field. And then, like, at the end of the election, like, we'll take a close look at, why did we get these calls about voter registration processes? Well, the majority of the calls we've received about, you know, the early voting module and how to do a registration in the field has to do with the fact that in SCORE it's not very intuitive. And it's difficult for the judges to kind of figure out how to process certain things. So, you know, that was why we earlier this year started talking about how do we make that module easier. And it was all based on the data that we've seen over the past few elections about what judges struggle with in the field. And then, like, for machines, a few years ago, judges had issues filling out, like, the seal logs. And so we took this data, we made adjustments in the training, and then after the next election looked and we saw, wow, we saw a big reduction in the number of calls we got about seal logs. So it's very, it enables us to be proactive with our training materials and our communication to judges, and then helps us improve going into future elections. So.
Gotcha. And I would imagine that others are doing, I mean, you're tracking that information, but in a much more manual way. What are your thoughts on that? What's your reaction to when you hear about both the idea, the concept of collecting the data, and then also there's that there may be some methods that already exist just using the system in a different manner than we're currently using it?
Well, this is Connie from Morgan, and I know we use WebEOC in our county as well, but that will be something I'll have to check into because it sounds like a great idea. And my concern is, and maybe Amber can answer that, but if there is an emergency, is there any problem with using that system? Like, say there's a big blizzard or something.
No, there hasn't been thus far, and they basically create what's called a incident, and so in the emergency management system, there's essentially an incident type of thing. Well, we make the election the incident, so that goes on for, you know, 30 days, and we are the only ones that can kind of see everything on here unless we publish to the city-wide notification system. So if there is an emergency or there is something that we need everyone to know in the city, we can use that. We haven't had to use that so far, but it's there for us to be able to manage contingency and emergency situations as well.
Sounds great. Thanks.
Others? Thanks, Connie. So, let's just go around by counties then. Larimer, how do you guys, I mean, I'm sure you guys, how do you guys collect your data now, and what do you think of the value of collecting this type of information?
Well, we think that this information is very interesting, but our volume is so much lower. We are able to collect a lot of it manually and firsthand. So that's kind of how we do it. We don't have an automated system that tracks the statistics or the data for us.
Do you guys track voter calls? Because I know that's one of those things that we haven't been, but I'm personally very interested in what are the types of questions you get as voters?
We do when we're getting a high enough volume of calls, but right now and for the last couple of elections, they've been so low that we haven't really needed to.
Yeah, I'm laughing because, yeah, exactly. It's like, yeah, our phone lines have been a little quiet. So, okay, well, thanks. Rudy, what about up in Weld? What do you guys do? What do you think of this?
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. I'd like to see the actual statistics that Amber has gathered. We do a manual process as well, and the last time we gathered information was the phone bank that we set up for the 2012 presidential, and we just log the type of call, the time, and the issue, and then we look at the logs afterwards and decide if what we need to tweak or if there was any big issues that were prevalent for the election.
Do you guys enter them in any system and track it, you know, keep some of a historical record of it, or is it more, you know, you review the election and for what it is?
Just review the election for what it is. Yeah, we don't enter it in like a spreadsheet or a database. We just probably in December after we finish wrapping everything up, we just take a quick look at it and see what's going on.
We've been similar to that. What about voter phone calls? Have you guys done much with voter phone calls?
No, we haven't. And we don't track like call volume or anything. So we just get like a best estimate on how many people that we need to man a phone bank. Because in the past, before Steve took over, like in 2002, 2001, we actually took down the whole county phone system for all the calls that we had coming in from our precinct polling locations. So, we man a phone bank, and we just decided, I think we need 10 people for this election or 15 people. So, and you're right, as of late, the last couple of years, yeah, we needed probably 4 or 5 people on the phone bank.
Yeah. And what were the types of things that people were calling in and just in the primary, do you remember?
Oh, it's always login issues. Are you talking about judges or voters?
Either, but let's do judges first.
Okay. Yeah, judges would be mostly login issues in the morning, and then as well as remembering how to do their job, some of them. So they needed a quick refresher on how to process a voter. And we always had roving teams out there as well. So if we weren't able to solve that over the phone, we had rovers go out there and make sure that everything was running smooth. And as far as the voters go, where's my vote center in the past, and also have you received my mail-in ballot were the two biggest ones.
Gotcha. Is that pretty similar for others, the voter questions recently?
Larimer has seen a lot of the same questions, yes.
Yeah, in the past two elections has definitely been where have you received my mail-in ballot and when did you get it? And usually they're the last few days before the election. Mm-hmm. And this also brings me to another issue, too, as well as since we're talking about phone banks, is since the state doesn't want us to install Citrix licenses to actually run a phone bank, I don't think any of the voter lookups have information on whether or not we received their mail-in ballot. I know at GoVo Colorado, there's like a portal that the state gives, like, special districts or municipalities for a voter lookup, and that doesn't tell us anything as far as that we received a ballot.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you could do it through GoVoColorado.com, but I would like it to be a lot quicker.
Yeah.
So.
I thought some of the reason to free up some of the licenses was so that you can still use some for your phone banks, but that might, did they say that at conference?
I wasn't at conference. I've kind of been out of the loop since the primary, so.
Okay. But that's a good point for us to, as when we're talking about licenses, is to remember to, because I would imagine, counties, are you guys planning, I mean, that your phone banks usually use the Citrix and the Score, correct?
Well, Hillary, this is Connie, and I heard them saying that they did not want us to use the Citrix licenses for phone banks. They wanted us to use something else.
That's correct. And in Mesa, for our phone bank, we'll use the full Citrix because we want to be able to answer all the questions that we're going to get.
Quick,
yeah, exactly. Because GoVote, it takes you a long time to get to the right screen, and it's not the full information. So that probably is something that's something bad.
You have to enter in the exact information with GoVote, too. With at least the interface, that portal, you can enter in wildcards or partial information to find that. Because, you know, complex names or hyphenated names, too, you need to be able to have that flexibility to enter in partial information to do a search.
Yep. Okay, well, I have that on. Sorry, I took us on a little bit of a tangent there. Bo, how about you with gathering the data that we were talking about? Value, did I already do it? If you're still with us. Well, Sheila, I know you're there. How about in Mesa? What do you guys think of that idea, and what do you already do? And
we really don't do anything for that at this point. We had a tracking system that was very manual, which was not efficient for us, so we're really interested in what's being talked about today.
Okay. Great. Renee or Fran?
This is Renee. Right now we don't track it either. We don't have a phone bank. It's just calls that come into our office. If I did track it, it would probably have to be something very manual. Our calls are probably, you know, we really don't receive very many phone calls from the judges unless they're just needing to check and see if they're sure they're doing the right thing or something like that from the North Fork Annex. Voters are mostly, I didn't include my secrecy sleeve or did you receive my ballot, those kind of things.
Gotcha. Okay.
This is Fran, the same as Renee. We don't generally get a lot of phone calls, and if it is, I didn't put my secrecy sleeve in. Is that okay? I don't get a lot of phone calls about, did you receive my ballot? Generally, they're already checking, so they already know. Other than that, it's about the same. We don't track it. Haven't been interested. What I would like to track this time is because I have to have a third VSPC site out there on election day, is I'd like to track, find a method to track how many voters are actually utilizing that and then the cost for that to have that site open.
Absolutely. Great. Okay. Anybody else that I may have skipped over? Okay. So, well, we'll go ahead and present that, and then I guess we'll follow up at our next meeting. Sorry, was someone going to say something? And then talk about, you know, what do we want to track in our counties? Are there some counties who are interested in piloting some methods for the information? Elaine, I'd be curious on your perspective of what, you know, the interest level from this type of information, what, you know, from a policy making and from the commission perspective, do you think it would be of interest to the group?
Yeah, I mean, I think all of it, you know,
for me, a lot of the information about the types of questions and the issues that come up are really helpful just in terms of voter education and helps flag issues where there's confusion for voters, so that's helpful to hear. But then I think, you know, from a policy perspective, you know, this, it could inform recommendations of the Commission for Legislation or other things. So, you know, it's interesting to hear how different counties are doing it and see what sorts of information those different methods bring back. And, like, I think it'd be an interesting conversation probably at the, you know, at the business practice level of, you know, going forward, is it helpful to try to get more of that? So,
right.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's all really interesting, and I think the commission would be interested to hear how counties are doing it, because I think there's often a lot of confusion about how much of this is studied and how much of it isn't, so even just hearing that it's something that's being tested, I think would be really helpful.
Okay. Well, Emma, we look forward to the presentation, and so people can, you know, view... Do you know if people can view the commission, or can they just hear it?
We can only hear it.
Mm. Okay. Because I think it'd be great for this to also hear the presentation. but maybe we can make that part of our, after we present it to the COBE, make that part of our next business practice group. I don't know how long your presentation is, Amber, but you're usually pretty efficient with a lot of information.
Well, there's a lot, and I was kind of, do you know how long they wanted to spend on this? Because I want to just try to tailor it to that allotted time.
The agenda was pretty high level. What would be your ideal amount? Because we have business, I mean, when you look at the agenda, it's pretty much the technology update and us and business practice group is the majority of the meeting, and I think we have, the meeting is, what, till hour and a half, up to two hours?
Okay, yeah, there's a lot of detail here, but I'm also putting together kind of some summaries to show, you know, why this has been useful over time. So, like, as an example, just with, you know, modifications probably, and I would say due to the policy from, you know, just comparing the 2012 primary to the 2014 primary, we saw a 30% reduction in voter calls, even though we had more voters vote in the 2014 primary. So, and when you look at the detail of that behind the reasons that voters contacted us, it no longer was the voter registration stuff as much. So I think that there's a lot that one could glean from a lot of this data. Mm-hmm. And I know it's just our county, but so I'm trying to kind of put together a few of those types of, you know, pointing out those things as well, even though there's a lot of detail. But some of those types of things I think are very useful when it comes to the kind of policy or operational side of things. So, it's ready, and I'm happy to, I can send it around to everyone as well.
That'd be great.
Okay.
So how long do you, what's your ideal amount of time that you want to take? And also, I'm sure there'll be questions.
Yeah, there probably will. I mean, there's like 20-ish slides, so.
Took us like 30, 35 minutes total?
Yeah, that's probably fine.
So, okay. And again, usually, I mean, lately we've been ending a little early, so. Okay, thanks you guys for letting us do the logistics on that. So then the next part is I sent out a bunch of data spreadsheets that will be presented to the commission and on Friday as well. And I thought if we just take, I mean, some of the things that I thought were kind of interesting, if you look at some of the summaries at the bottom of those spreadsheets were some of our total numbers. Sorry, I'm jumping in the middle. Before we do that, let's start with what the spreadsheets are. So I sent... there's the one I sent around this morning that I got late last night. We had the original information about registration and when a ballot was issued. So it's called CE061 COBAME Data 2014-08-11. So that was, and what that, there's two tabs on that. And what it shows is people who were new to a county that registered, and we showed this in 2013 too, who And the first tab is who were new and then were actually issued a ballot, who updated within the county and were actually issued a ballot, and who updated in that county that was previously registered in the state and received a ballot. And the reason, and then there's the next tab that shows the same information, but they weren't issued a ballot. And so those are going to be our unaffiliateds that made registration changes. In the general election, we didn't have to worry about whether they were issued a ballot because everybody was eligible in that election. And so that's why there's the two tabs. The value of that is to still show the overall volume that happens during this time period instead of just here's who voted. And again, the data that we're collecting and showing is to really help us get those in, well, one of the outcomes is to show participation. The other is to help us use this information to get the formulas correct so that we are putting our resources where they need to be. So if you look at the very bottom of that, the new ballots issued for registration, it's, you know, it's pretty low for across the state. It's, you know, 382 for the whole time period, not even election day, new registrations that were also issued a ballot. If you look at, the again, the pattern continued from the primary, which was that the majority of registration issues are people moving within their county. And then if you look at within the state, that number is even lower than our new registrations. So I don't know if you all have had a chance to take a quick look at the data. It's more just, again, gathering of information so that when we look at those formulas, we can make some conclusions. I think what's interesting, if you look at the no ballot issue, is all the unaffiliated registrations that took place and how much greater those numbers are. One of the things this doesn't show is, was that at a VSPC or was that in your office? Assuming most may have been in the office, but I don't know the answer to that.
It would be interesting. I'll bet most of them were online or regular voter registration processes that got to continue on.
Yeah. And I don't know. Do we know how we would get that information? Of were these registrations in the office or at a VSPC? I mean, I guess if you do that other sort feature, this is where it's way above my data ability and grade. But that might be something the commission could ask on Friday. So any questions or comments or things that, you know, when you guys looked at this, if you had a chance to, numbers matched up pretty well, pretty much what your experience was with that, or... Anything we need to point out to the commission on this particular spreadsheet? Okay. Then the next one. Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, this is Sheila. The only thing I would say is that there wasn't very much traffic in the VSPCs, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that we can depict that from, well, yeah, we can depict that from this sort of.
If you highlight the date the VSPCs opened, even if you assumed all of that volume happened in a VSPC, which it probably didn't, so I think that's the next layer of information is how to show what went through a VSPC and what went through the main office.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were super dead in Mesa County. I mean, one of our VSPCs that we stood up in Fruita got absolutely no one.
No one came?
Zero people showed up. We were pretty disappointed.
Yeah, it's also one of those that is, like, what I've wondered, because I, you know, with your more established places, when people are used to them, like, how long does it take a new place to catch on, and is it nobody thinks to use it, or is it a volume issue? And I don't know the answer,
It is the only one that we have on that end of our valley for the population that's out there in the Fruita, Loma, and Mac area.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the Fruita Civic Center for the city of Fruita, and also a motor vehicle office, and the place where we've held the election for, gosh, as long as I've been here. So it's a known spot.
Yeah.
So it was really surprising to us.
Yeah, wow.
others on with the data and things that we want to make sure we draw attention to?
Did I look at that? Oh, this is Connie from Morgan, and the one thing, you know, which I keep hearing is they're so concerned with the same-day registration and, you know, it's going to be a tainted election because of same-day registration, but this is kind of proof that it's not that big of a deal.
Mm-hmm.
And not only this data, but also the data about the affiliation balance of who had a transaction with us in the last 30 days. Amber pulled that again for the primary, and again, it showed a nonpartisan advantage.
That's great. Interesting there. So, great. Then the other spreadsheet, the vote count by vote method, obviously this ties a little closer to the... Interesting. Should tie a little closer to our VSPCs as far as, you know, the in-person voting portion of it. I know one of the things I found really surprising and makes me want to go back and look, and I'll see if I have time for the Friday meeting, but there were 7 provisional ballots across the state. That's pretty phenomenal.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, that is pretty incredible. I know we only had 2, so there were a good portion of those, but yeah, it's just pretty amazing. So, others, what did you guys see in it? I mean, again, if you scroll down to the bottom of it, it's row 1097, the totals across the state of those who vote in person, either on paper or DRE, is a pretty small proportion. Which
I seem not to have the spreadsheet that you're referencing.
It's in the meeting appointment that I sent out.
Oh, okay. I'll go there.
Yeah, sorry. I updated the CE061 spreadsheet. That was the email I sent this morning. That replaces the one that's in your meeting announcement, and then this vote by count is in your meeting announcement one.
And for the provisionals, are they only including the provisionals that counted?
Good point. Yep, that this would be the I would assume they're the provisionals that counted. That's a good question, though.
I think it is.
Yeah. So that's probably a little premature celebration. But still, even if it's 7, it's still going to be pretty low.
Yeah. Right.
But that would be. Yeah, and I thought we had asked for that number. That one's pretty easy for them to run, so I'll just ping them and see if we can get, because isn't there, like, there's one report that you can run on that. That's pretty quick.
Yeah, you should be able to get accepted versus rejected, because I know we had one that got accepted, but the rest of ours, or at least the, we only had, I don't know, we had like 6 or 7 total, but
mm-hmm.
The majority were people like that had missed the cutoff for changing their affiliation, so they voted a provisional that they weren't eligible to vote. So
right, because they still insisted on voting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Does anyone remember off the top of their head what report that is? I don't either, but I'll see. Okay, so that would be one of the data, another data point that we would want for Friday. Anything else when you look at this that we want to point out or draw attention to? I mean, I think, again, still the numbers of those that came in person are pretty low, but good for those who want to, right? And as you know, the patterns we expect, election day is when you see more of them. Okay.
Hillary, just a thought. This is Fran.
Mm-hmm.
Would it be beneficial to point out which day is a Saturday?
Sure. Yeah, to highlight the Saturdays. And the other thing when I look at this is it's also the when did our BSPCs open as well? Right, we know looking at it when they open, but I don't think you can tell. That's not something that would instantly pop out if you weren't familiar with when those dates are. So, all right, let me make a note of that to point out. Hold on. Trying to point out. Saturdays and when the FP. Okay. Anything else with this that when you guys look at it? Remember, there's a range of people looking at the information. Okay. That's for the reports then. So for our next meeting is to focus on, you know, what do we want in place for the general election. We'll update and review of the mock as well, and then to finalize the survey. We're going to talk about the survey again with the commission, and want to make sure that we have the survey ready to go so that we can send it out to people by about mid-September. How does that timeline sound to people?
Good.
Up our success of getting so people know. I mean, to the point we were talking about, that if you know what information you want to gather, you may gather it differently as you're doing it. So, and then also with that, we have the NCOA conversation. Are there, I know we're all slammed busy, but, so Sheila, is there any taking advantage of anything happening at the association level? I don't want to start another conversation that may be.
Yeah, we're working through the Eric issue. So Judd and I and Amber and Matt sat down with him, and we also had a phone call separately with the Eric folks to help us understand what we were supposed to do with the data and why it showed up in the format that it did.
Okay.
And so we found out that the state manipulated the files that they got from Eric to try to make it look like NCOA, to make it simpler for the counties. And in doing so, they eliminated a lot of important information that we could have used to determine whether or not someone was really owed a mailing or not.
Mm.
So the county's got an exorbitant amount of records to process. And like for Mesa County, it was 10,000. And it was super high for other counties as well. But at any rate, it wasn't parsed down. They gave us things like a move where an address just had a pound sign in one address, but an APT for the apartment number in another.
Mm.
So the majority of the people that were delivered on the Eric list are not valid moves. And so they're working on redoing the data, and they're going to re-deliver some move information, thanks to Amber's suggestion, to a few key counties for like a test first,
mm-hmm.
to verify that it's looking right on our end before pushing it back out to all the counties. And so far, even though they said that they told the counties when they sent the Eric data out that it had to be processed by August 5th, at conference, only one county raised their hand that said that they had processed the Eric data that they had originally received.
Hmm. Or is planning to.
Yeah, so the Eric issue, probably should probably leave that alone. I think we were working through that and have probably hurt enough feelings already.
Yeah.
But
it's not to pound on anyone. It's how you integrate these pieces, and that's the other part, right? Like, you don't want to send... If you already sent someone an NCOA notice, you don't want to send them an Eric notice as well.
Right, and that was another thing that was in the data, is that it didn't bounce it up against score for a transaction date. So there was also people that were included that had already been pinged by NCOA.
Right.
So, it was a pretty big mess. But it's getting cleaned up, but it does warrant having a conversation about how we do that better in the future. And it, the state of Utah, they said, was their poster child at the ERIC Center because they do process them through an NCOA module in their software where the operator pulls the transaction up sort of similar to like an OLVR screen and then makes a decision. Send a mismailing, bad record, don't process, you know?
Yeah, I think that
or a bad match.
Well, I think one of the so one of the reasons to talk about the ERIC is because the legislation was pretty clear about what list to use for NCOA.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so is there where is it in statute that that we do both? Because I don't think that was ever the intention. So
yeah, I don't think it is in statute at all. It's just that the state engaged and signed the contract with the ERIC and Q projects to do this. Which is a valid effort. We
I think we want
to do it, but we need to have good enough tools to process it efficiently. That's where it's at.
And to not, how do you make it not to have to process stuff twice, touch every record twice?
Mm-hmm.
So okay, so that
yeah.
Might be
so there's another state that has a good system in place that we need to look to.
Right. So. From the commission standpoint, Elaine, I know we've talked a lot about this issue during the 161 stuff. What, you know, how do we move forward? Is it, do we get a working group on the NCOA part of it, of what's working, what's not, and what where legislation may complicated the process, or did it complicate the process?
I'm not sure because it seems to me like the issue is the integration with ERIC, which was all done administratively, so it would be worth talking through how they're supposed to be integrated, but I don't know, unless, I guess the legislation complicated it by overlaying NCOA, but, you know, they use different data sources, so.
It complicated it either, because what the problem is having in the NCOA module, or the NCOA administrative process as it stands today, having to make the decision point for which of the, I think Larimer said, 11 letters we now have to decide to send. That's really the kicker.
That's the NCOA side of stuff that we need to review and figure out how did that, what is it that people are reading that makes that the case?
Explode. Mm-hmm.
Well, and I actually think that, I don't think that there needs to be a, I mean, what we're doing, at least the plan when we got the ERIC data and things, I mean, I think that the letters could be worded generically enough that they could be utilized and make it easier on the counties, because having all of those different letters that pretty much say the same thing, they're just slightly different in different ways, is not efficient. So, I mean, that might be where business practices even could come into play in looking at that and making some recommendations to make that easier.
So I would say for Friday to let them know that that's what we're going to be looking at.
That's probably a good plan.
Okay.
And the other thing that I think, I mean, Sheila covered everything that came up in conversation, including the sorts, and I know the state is looking at that, and we went ahead and continued a sort that we had kind of a logic and query that we had come up with the first ERIC file, and I did share with the state this week kind of the results of that. So I'm hoping that they, will distribute the same type of query or process to the rest of the counties. But what it did is it identified potential data entry errors. So if something was flagged as a change, as an example, and it's a street number change, but the street name stayed the same, the likelihood that someone would move on the same street and the street name and pre-direction and everything remain the same, but the house number change is pretty much unlikely. So that actually, we ran a query that pulled some of those out, and in looking at them, they were like data entry errors. So like we looked at a lot of them, maybe it was a voter registration driver, a handwritten form,
mm-hmm.
And one of the numbers you couldn't read it clearly. And looking at it and then comparing that to ERIC, it flagged it as a, data entry type of situation. So we were able to fix those.
And I'm hoping that the state does that for all the counties, because I think that would be really useful before sending a letter to look at those types of issues and potentially correct them. Okay. So
then, again, what is the intersection? What I'm hearing is that do we want to make the Cobain Commission aware of the complication of ERIC and NCOA, and that the business practice group then is going to look at how to make the NCOA process itself more streamlined and efficient? I just don't know. And then do we say there's a group working with ERIC and eventually we'll figure out how to blend those two? Is that the strategy?
Well, there's not really a group working with ERIC so much as CCCA and ESRC.
Right, but that'd be who I'm pointing at.
And I think maybe the other thing that the commission could consider is with the ERIC matches, and this is one thing that we talked to the state about, the fact that motor vehicle shows a more current address in some instances than what SCORE shows, at least I would say, is a process problem and potentially a system problem with a motor vehicle, meaning that, you know, when you go into motor vehicle and you're going to update your license address or renew your license or whatever, depending on how the question is asked of the constituent, so if they say, oh, do you want to use this to register to vote? Well, if you're already registered to vote, you're making an assumption in your head that that's going to transfer over. And if you say, no, I don't want to use that, we don't ever get that. So when you look at how many, I mean, I think when they do get the new ERIC file, looking at those numbers statewide might be able to provide some information to the commission to potentially look at legislation or look at, you know, this sort of bigger issue. Why aren't these updates transferring over? Well, it's because of potentially a process issue. So that even might be, you know, some of the statistics that the ERIC data could provide also might be useful for the commission to look at, in particular when it comes to, you know, close to election and how fast we're getting transfers over from motor vehicle, because there's no reason for the ERIC data to show a different address in motor vehicle than what SCORE has, because we should be getting that.
Right.
And so I think some of that might be maybe more of a higher level, like policy discussion around, you know, what do we need to do? Is there a policy change necessary? And if so, what should that be?
Great.
Because that does directly impact 1303 and sort of this new registration scheme.
So what if we tee that up for the September meeting? So at the September meeting, we'd have an NCOA conversation, an ERIC conversation. We also talked about having the post office group come in September and update them on what they've learned. And then we'd also be looking at finalizing the survey at that committee meeting as well, which should be a pretty full meeting. Do you think that works? I mean, that also gives the state time, because we're not trying to blindside them or, you know, It's to how to have the cooperative conversation with all of the groups that are responsible for looking at elections, weighing in on the appropriate place where they weigh in on this process. Fran and Elena, what do you guys think of that from a commission standpoint?
I think that sounds good. I mean, I think that it's just, for the initial conversation, it's going to have to be a pretty high-level explanation of what ERIC is, and a reminder, since we have some new commissioners, of NCOA and how it works, and then I think explaining that there are issues on how to integrate, and then having the group report back on where that's going, I think would be really helpful.
Great. Fran?
Agreed.
Okay. Because I think that's the next, you know, level of policy is about list maintenance and list, you know, cleanups and those sorts of things, because that's, with the mail ballot election, that's kind of what's, for me, what feels like what's next to look at more thoroughly, and all of these are for that. Anybody else? Does that sound like a way to proceed? And then what I don't know is, how do we want to do the NCOA group? Do we want to invite other counties to participate? What's, you know, set it up and see who shows? What some of you guys have to? What are your thoughts? Or do we want to just, as a business practice group, go through what the issues are?
And Sheila, I'm kind of looking at you too. From what do you, from an association, how do we blend this?
You're talking about the NCOA and the
NCOA ERIC group, yeah. Mm-hmm. To get stuff ready for the September COBE meeting.
I don't really know. I don't have any brilliant ideas at this point, Hillary.
Okay. Well, I don't have a brilliant idea, but you know me, I always have at least an idea. So what if we do a business practice group meeting on this subject, but we expand it to if other counties want to join us in the conversation?
That's a good idea.
Okay. The thing with that is then it's also broadcast and all of that, so that's the bad part. At what level are we ready to speak to the public this as well? And not to hide, it's how do you get things, you know, what's the rambling conversation versus what's the more strategic, although if people listen to our meetings, that may not be necessarily true either.
Well, I think that the conversation is still a healthy one, and really it needs to just focus on the efficiency of the process, the administrative process. We need to look at the instructions that are provided by the Secretary of State's office, think about the data that we're getting now that I think has changed
mm-hmm.
since Senate Bill 161, which was helpful to include mailing address whenever we could use it,
yep.
And then talk about the different form letters and what would it be our suggestion to make it a simpler process for all. So I don't think it's anything that we wouldn't want public.
Okay, well, I'll reach out to the state, too, and see. And this would be separate from our next business practice group meeting, but to have it before our next business practice group meeting so we could have that information gathered at the end. So.
Okay.
All right. So last item with our last 5 minutes is to set our next meeting. And I don't know when regionals are, so I think, Connie, you're on the Eastern and I think we have all the regions represented. So what does the week of the 15th look like for people? I was thinking at least a month away. That way it would give us time to have our NCOA meeting as well.
Let's see. I'm looking. Hold on.
I'm open on the 15th.
I should probably be more specific. The end of that week or into the next week. And, of course, I'm not looking at an election calendar at all, but...
Yeah, the week of the 15th works for the Eastern region.
Okay. Does the 18th or 19th work for people?
Mm, pretty much. 18th in the morning or 19th in the afternoon.
What about 18th in the morning? As I don't know how much we want to have these conversations on a Friday afternoon. How does that look for people? And are we liking this kind of start of the day time?
Works for Delta County.
Works for Morgan.
Okay, so what if we're looking at 9:18 from, and let's make it a 2-hour because we have a lot that we want to review before the COBAME committee, making it 8:30 to 10:30?
Good.
Going once. Going twice. I'll send out a calendar invite. And that is all I have for today. Any last closing words of wisdom from anyone else on the phone? No pressure. All right, well, another full meeting. I really appreciate you guys making the time for this and to have these conversations. It's really helpful to get your input and your direction so that we can better bring information to the COBAME Commission and help sort through it. So really, really appreciate you making the time. And we'll look for emails and talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.